Luke chapter 9, please. Luke chapter 9. And we'll read together verses 43 and 44. Luke chapter 9. And let's stand together as we read together from God's word this morning. Luke chapter 9, 43 and 44. And you can read right along with me. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did. He said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink deep into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And let us pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings in life. And we thank you for the wonderful music we've heard this morning from our children. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts and minds to your word now and help us to leave here more determined to stay close to you and to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. In verses 37 through the remainder of the portion of Scripture, we have an incident of Jesus helping a young boy. Verse 37 says, And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, his spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again unto his father. Here Jesus helps a young boy who's being terrorized by a demon. Once again, Jesus shows his power over Satan's power. And it was so great that everyone were left that day amazed at the power of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the best friend that children can ever have? I believe the Lord desires to bless our children also today. And I stand amazed this morning at the glory of God, the goodness of God, the grace and gentleness of God, and the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm amazed at his pardon power. I'm amazed at his provision that he offers us. I'm amazed at the purpose of God in this world. I'm amazed, first of all, how he could even leave heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, we get a little glimpse of heaven. Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 through 5. John the Apostle said, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I think of the splendor of heaven this morning, and I'm amazed at how our Lord could leave such a place, the sacredness of it, surrounded by angelic hosts and innumerable angels worshiping him, along with the departed saints of all time, and with the children of all ages that have passed away, to leave that place of authority, to leave that place where he ruled and reigned, to leave and to step into time, and to become an infant child, And to be raised from a child to a man is pretty amazing, isn't it? I'm amazed at that. Can you imagine the glory that he left behind to come to earth? And all that he left. To think about that, we are amazed this morning. And to also think that one day he has promised to share his glory with his people is pretty amazing. Amen. I'm amazed also at how he could lower himself that far. To step down from the worship of angels and the heavenly host and to be stripped of all that glory, to be the selected sacrifice, the only suitable sacrifice that could satisfy the demands of the law of God. I'm amazed. I'm also amazed that he could live 33 years on this earth and never sin. Born of the Virgin Mary, a man without sin. The Bible said he had no sin and was harmless and helped all of his days on earth. He went about doing good. I'm amazed that he turned no one away, whoever came to him for help. You know, there are a few people in life that you probably say that you could really count on in a pinch. But even they are people of clay at best. But not the Lord Jesus Christ, for he's all-knowing and he's all-present. Psalm 50 said, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." I'm amazed that our Lord could live down here. Never had a bad thought. Never said an unkind word. Never did anything wrong. It's pretty amazing. Amen. And yet he was hated and put to death. And that, my friends, is human nature at its best. We don't know what anyone is capable of doing. Jeremiah said, "The heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it?" And that is the reason why every person in this world needs to be born of the Spirit of God. We must be born again. We must have the new spirit of Christ within us. I'm amazed this morning how he could lay down his life. For everyone, not just his friends, but for everyone in the whole world. You know, we are blessed in this country to have special people that give their lives for others. Not only on the battlefield, but in other areas of life. We have found them in every generation. Sometimes I wonder and I'm amazed at the fact, where do these people come from that are willing to lay down their life for others? And yet they come from all over the country, all different towns and cities and states. And we've been blessed in every generation to have such a people. But yet our Bible says that Christ died for the ungodly. Look at Romans 5, please, in verse number 7. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 7. Verses 6 and 7. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Our Bible tells us that Christ died for the sins of the world. He died for those that hate him. He died for those that curse him. He died for those that are rebellious and do not want anything to do with him. It's amazing. I stand amazed this morning at the love of God that is immutable, that is without measure. How can you measure such a love as the love of God? How could he let himself be lifted on that cross? Think about that. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's more than I can understand. He said, "No man taketh my life. I lay it down and I have power to take it up." And so how can he love sinners as he does is truly amazing. Our Bible says that he's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Our Bible tells us that his love is divine and unlimited, and yet amazingly enough, his love is unwanted by many today. I stand amazed this morning at how he limited himself by coming to this earth. In Hebrews chapter 4, we are told, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ endured every temptation the devil could throw at him while he walked this earth. But he didn't sin because it was impossible for him to sin." Amen? Not in his nature. Amen. He had a divine nature. Why did he limit himself to be a human? Why did he limit himself to come to this earth in the form of a human? I think one reason is he came here is so that he could say to us today, in any situation in our life, our Lord can say, "I know what you're going through." And that's pretty amazing. And it's also a reason why the Lord allows us many times to go through difficulties in life so that we can say to others how God has helped us and how God has comforted us. This morning I stand amazed at how he went down to paradise after he died on the cross to bring the Old Testament saints with him to heaven, to be with him. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 9 gives reference to this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 9. "Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things." Peter says, "For Christ also hath suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water." Peter said that he went to the spirits in prison. He went to paradise after his death. And there he took paradise with him to heaven. Matthew puts it this way, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." Can you imagine being in Jerusalem the days after the resurrection of Christ, and seeing Old Testament saints walking up and down the streets of Jerusalem alive? Can you imagine all the wonder that took place in Jerusalem at that time? I'm amazed that that resurrected band of people he took to that great city of light where he is today, welcoming each believer as they come home. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I'm amazed this morning at the patience of God, aren't you? I'm amazed at how patient God is. But we know that he is storing up his wrath for the day to come. One day the patience of God will wear out. And when that day happens, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe we're living in those last days. The Bible says in those last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves without natural affection. It's not natural what goes on in this world with more increasing terrible things. I could speak a little more openly now that the children are gone downstairs, but it seems that every few months we hear something that we say to ourselves, this is truly the worst thing we've ever witnessed, only to be repeated by something even more terrible. But He is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope, and He's coming to this world one of these days, perhaps in our lifetime. Question is, are we ready for Him? My bags are packed. I'm looking up. I'm looking for the undertaker. If the undertaker finds me first, all well and good. I leave everything behind. There's nothing that I value that I want to bring with me. Our Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. People don't steal things in heaven. They don't rob you in heaven, and things don't rust or break. There are no moths in heaven eating your garments. Recently I found an article of clothing that I hadn't seen in a long time. And I thought, oh good, this will look new. Took it out and it was all eaten by moths. Holes all through it. But you know, the people of God truly do have a great hope. When God is able to comfort people that know Him today in terrible situations, it is an amazing grace that God gives to us, isn't it?
Amen.
This morning, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ in a personal way, you miss so much. You miss the miraculous power of God that is able to sustain you in every situation of life and also give you hope to know that you're going to go through it, you're going to be all right, and that somehow God will make all things work together for good. And that's the miracle, that God is able to overcome evil with good in His own way. You know, I'm so blessed this morning to hear our children sing. How precious they are. How precious are all children. Amen. I mean, they are a joy. They're the lights of this world. Did you ever have a bad day and only to be cheered up by a child who just innocently knows just exactly what to say and what to do? They're an amazing gift to this world. I'm grateful for all of our children. They are blessed. And they need our prayers always. We need to be people of prayer. Amen. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to be praying people in these days. We need to be in our prayer closets. Get out our prayer lists. So we need to be in church on Wednesday night if we're healthy and pray in these days. Let us pray. Our Father, we all are amazed this morning as we're reminded of your greatness. We're amazed this morning that you would come to this world in the fashion in which you did. We're amazed that you could live a life, a perfect life, and become a ransom and a sacrifice that was acceptable by a holy God to meet the standard and to pay the price that you did not owe, that we owed. We're amazed this morning at how you limited yourself on this earth. Step aside from your glory And we're amazed at your Holy Spirit that is here today working in this world, bringing people to yourself and strengthening the church and God's people. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as we play a verse of invitation this morning. We wouldn't close the service without giving you an opportunity. If there's someone here this morning that does not know Christ in a personal way, for you to open your heart to Christ this morning. We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to change religions. We're just asking you to accept the Son of God who knocks at the door of your heart and wants to come in, wants to be your Lord and your Savior and your guide in life, wants to make you a child of God. With our heads and bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there be anyone this morning say, "Pastor, I'd like to be remembered in prayer. I don't have that assurance. If I died this morning, I'd go to heaven. I want to be remembered in prayer. I'd like to know that, have that assurance that others have. Please remember me in prayer." Anyone like that, would you lift your hand up high? Anyone at all? And then slip it down. It won't come to you. It won't embarrass you. It won't ask you to come forward, but we'll pray for you. Anyone like that? God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Right now, call on the Lord the best you know how. He's knocking, he's calling, he's asking. He'll not force his way into your life, but he will come in. And when he comes in, he comes to stay. Christian this morning, you say, "Pastor, I really need to put on my prayer slippers. I have really neglected prayer in my life, and I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to revive my prayer life this morning. Would you pray for me that I'd be able to do that?" God bless you. Others, God bless you. Others, God bless you. Others, we are in a battle. There's a battle going on for the souls of men in our country and around the world. We as God's people need to be people of prayer. Father, seal these decisions this morning. May they be life-changing. And have your will done in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all turn our hymn book, please, to 541. 541. If you'd like to come this morning and pray for any reason or any purpose, our altar is open as we sing, "Only Trust Him, Only Trust Him." Let's stand together, please.